Hello, Pulpit.
Hi. It's been a long couple days. It's been a long couple months for me, man.
Oh, I know. I've been on a little bit of a roller coaster these past few days myself.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy, but
we're not going to let that cramp our style.
No. So today we want to talk about delusion.
Being delusional.
And
you can't even say that with a serious face.
I know, it's really funny. I think that these last couple of months, I've really come to understand just how much delusion it takes at certain points to let yourself free fall into life and believe in yourself and try certain things and fucking go for it.
Yeah, dude. You get so used to holding yourself back in life that the muscle it takes to not hold yourself back, it feels so weak internally. Like, I gotta strengthen that muscle.
So it's been so funny to talk about this idea of delusion. And I've talked about it with my sister, Caitlin, who has an amazing food Instagram, started it about a year ago. And when you're starting anything and you don't have a platform to start from, or you're just trying to build a platform or build a business or move towards anything, that means that you start from nothing.
Yes.
So when you're sharing things and you're sharing yourself, you are sharing it with 100 people, 75 people,
maybe
400, like literally, exactly. I guess I'm talking about Instagram, you know what I mean? And we laugh so much, her and I do. And I can see, like, now that we've started this, you guys, I'm just going to be honest here. It takes pure delusion to put myself out there like this,
bro.
It takes pure delusion on my part to sit here and talk to you guys and share on Instagram and kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say think that anyone cares, because the beautiful thing is that I do think people care, because I care about what my friends are doing and engaging with them and their businesses and their ventures. So I don't like the idea of saying that nobody cares if I'm sharing. It just feels like you're like screaming into an open abyss.
My favorite thing in the entire world is liking my own posts.
From my personal page to my safe space page. The snort. Oh my God. But
I'm fucking doing it though.
Dude, every day I'm reposting it. I'm like, oh my God, I love this reel. But anyways, that's all to say that when Caitlin started our family table, you know, she had moments of expressing, and this was before we put out Safe Space and kind of around the same time that we started thinking about it, but we didn't even really tell anybody about it for months and months after we started conceptualizing it. And, you know, she was just expressing how vulnerable it is to be making something. And the reality is that any day could be the day that that shit pops off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the craziest thing, is that you're delusional. And then all of a sudden, people notice and you're just not delusional one day. It's like people took to it. You know what I mean? And I don't even know if I'm expressing this that well, but I just am so fascinated, I guess, going through this process right now and also applying it to other areas of my life too, where, you know, we talk about believing in ourselves quite a bit on these episodes, and it's important, y'all. But I guess I'm just fascinated with the level of delusion you have to have at moments to really just commit to the bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think owning anything in life is kind of uncomfortable. Until you feel like you have expertise in something, it can be hard to own something fully.
Yeah.
And talk about it openly with people and really stand behind it and rock with it. And it's just an uncomfortable, kind of awkward feeling, but at the same time, you can never become an expert at anything without being a beginner. So you've got to own every phase of that shit.
But then also too, this is an obvious thing to say, but how many undiscovered amazing people are out there that can't quite push themselves to that point of delusion? You know what I mean?
The sadder part is, actually, I shouldn't even say that, because that's not good for the juju.
What? Okay. Hit me. Come on.
I was going to say the sadder thing is how many people are amazing at what they do and do believe in themselves and work at something for ever and still never make it on a certain level.
Yeah, can we talk about that? What is that?
I think it's just a life path thing. I don't know, but that's me getting into some spiritual shit that not everybody's going to rock with.
No, but I'm actually curious. Like, let's, what is that? Because for me, I just feel like if you love something, every fiber of your being enjoys it, your energy flows there, and you naturally have a gift. Like, can't imagine people not being able to get to where they want to get to. But some people really don't see the top of the mountain in the ways that maybe they thought, like acting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Decades and decades and decades of just hustling, thugging it out, like just doing whatever they can to get to where they want to. And it's such a, there's so few people that get to the, you know, quote unquote, top of the mountain in something like acting.
Yeah. And I don't want to conflate success with being the ultimate superstar in the world, because you don't have to get to that level of fame or notoriety to feel successful at your craft, or to build a comfortable life for yourself, or to feel fulfilled. I mean, if we're getting into it, really, to me, fulfillment is success. So notoriety or money, honestly, both of those things are scary to me in ways, because I want my heart to be at the center and the core of everything that I do. So I just feel I've seen a lot of corruption around those things, but I think that that's something I need to go to therapy for, because I shouldn't be afraid of money. That's probably a deeper wound for me. But I think that sometimes for some people, there is the perfect storm of talent, circumstances, support, timing, opportunity, work ethic, you know, where there's a perfect storm where all of those align, then, you know, maybe that's kind of the recipe for superstardom or super notoriety. But I don't know. I mean, I think if you become an actual expert at something and put all of your energy and effort into something for a long period of time, there's no way not to find a certain level of success in that thing.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't know that I have the answer for that, why some people kind of never make it. This is a really hot take, and it might make me sound like a big asshole. But sometimes
they're not as good at what they're trying to do as they think they are.
Yes!
I didn't know you were going to say that, but then when you did the caveat, when you did the pre-statement,
Because I think that sometimes people can have a huge passion for something, but the talent isn't all the way there. I think that might contribute sometimes. I think some people have a huge heart to want to do something, and for some reason they might lack an edge of some sort, either in their talent or their development. Maybe it's in their psyche. I also think it's a unique skill to have, to show up bravely and grounded under pressure and under scrutiny. You know, like I think of athletes, and there are certain athletes that just, their mental game is just locked the fuck in, you know? People who are super clutch in really high pressure situations. I think that's a rare skill to have. I think that's really hard to develop.
I actually heard this morning LeBron James was on JJ Redick's podcast, and he was talking about how Steph Curry reinvented the game of basketball by making it so that no lead is ever safe. Like when Steph came into the game of basketball, it used to be, they were saying on the podcast, that people used to clear their benches and have like second, third stringers come in with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And now with Steph Curry, his influence and clutchness and stuff completely changed the game. And like, It's no longer that way. Like no lead is safe, even with like a minute left, which is so fucking true.
Yeah. And so I think that's a different level of mental fortitude, even than someone who just works really hard and sticks at it for years. You know, like there's a certain level of determination and self-assuredness that is unique in certain people. And it's not that I don't think it can be cultivated, because I think it is cultivated. I think you just have to be completely, fully dedicated in your approach to everything in life with that same attitude of commitment, self-assuredness, confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that that's a skill set that I don't think it flies under the radar, but I think it is undervalued. And I think that mindset in anything you do can take you so, so, so far. But I don't know how much everybody focuses on that. I just think about Kobe, mm-hmm. like the Mamba mentality, mm-hmm. you know? That mindset's kind of rare to find someone who's that locked in, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that mentality, maybe if we all focused on that a little bit more,
well, but that
we would get farther.
That requires sacrifice. And I think more and mm-hmm. more I'm witnessing people around not wanting to sacrifice. I think there's a lot of sacrifice that is required to get to places. And
yeah.
I think that we live definitely in a world that's moving more towards momentary pleasure and
ease.
Comfort and yeah. ease. You know, my older sister Carrie and I were just talking about this the other day, in that we're just so averse to discomfort these yeah. days. Anything that comes up that spurs discomfort in small or big moments, we run, you know what I mean? And it's not how we should be moving. But yeah, I think it's more and more rare because it requires a certain level of momentary dissatisfaction for long-term satisfaction. And that's wisdom, you know?
It definitely prevents any sort of depth.
What
or
does?
Expertise in anything. Well, because I started thinking about that in terms of relationships where avoidance of uncomfortable moments.
Oh, yeah.
Means you can never get to certain levels of trust with people
mm-hmm.
without walking through that fire. And that basically ensures that you're going to have little to no depth in your relationships
yeah.
if you can't endure discomfort.
Absolutely.
But as it pertains to career or personal pursuits, definitely that sacrifice is needed. And that's hard because the reality is life is short and it does matter how you want to feel every day. And some people don't want to sacrifice so much of their time to just pursue one thing. You know, for a lot of people, it's more important to spend time with your loved ones, experience satisfaction, joy, pleasure, you know? And so I don't think it's for everybody to be hardcore expert Mamba mentality vibes all the time.
I don't think it's for everybody, period.
That's what I mean.
Oh, I yeah. thought you meant just like you can't be like that all the time.
No, I just meant in general in life.
No, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I really think that there are all different types of people in this world for a reason, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see on social media all the time the discourse about... This is like a Twitter thing. If you're on Twitter ever, I feel like you've seen this, but there's people constantly arguing about the pros and cons of a 9-to-5 versus being an entrepreneur.
Mm.
And obviously entrepreneurship is given such a sparkly title because the ceiling is high, theoretically. The,
yeah.
You know, the money making opportunity is high. And people take a lot of pride off of saying, I'm a business owner, I'm a CEO, I, you know, run my own schedule, run my own business, whatever.
Yeah.
There are so many entrepreneurs, so many creators and people that just generally work for themselves on there that are like, not everybody needs to do this.
Yeah.
Please enjoy your 9-to-5. If that is what does it for you and if you feel fulfilled, and this is not made for everybody. Entrepreneurship is, I've never done it. I've watched my parents do it and wow. Wow, what a journey. But I think that in the future, I will probably engage in entrepreneurship. But I have seen firsthand, it's just really not for everybody, you know, and I don't think everybody needs to take a stab at it. If they want to, they can, of course. But I think it's kind of the same with...
Yeah, and it ties back to sacrifice. And it brings up the concept for me of, do you live to work or do you work to live? And it's interesting because I think the perception of entrepreneurship from people who work a 9-to-5 is that entrepreneurship allows you more time in your life. Like it doesn't take up as much of your time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to get to the point where you don't have to work as much as an entrepreneur, you have to slave your ass off at the beginning.
Absolutely.
For however long. And you never know if it's going to work out in the beginning and you're taking a huge risk. Maybe you are. I mean, it depends on who you're relying on, if you have people who will invest in you and stuff like that. But if you're really starting from the ground up, basically alone, without anybody funding your ventures for you, you've got to work your freaking ass off. You're probably working way more than someone who works a 9-to-5.
And you know what you have to be? Delusional.
Yeah.
For a long period of time.
Yeah.
You have to, it's just crazy. Like you absolutely are. I was talking to a guy years ago who was an entrepreneur kind of in his own right, but he always used to talk about that. And I've heard so many different people talk about that where they make jokes of being like, I quit my 9-to-5s to be an entrepreneur so that I could set my own schedule. And now, great news is I work 24 hours a day, kind of, you know what I mean? Like basically they're never not working, you know? And so it's crazy, but I don't know. Just thinking about how much time and dedication goes into, listen, Carly and I, we both have full-time jobs, but just thinking about how it would feel theoretically if my entire heart and soul and time was dedicated to Safe Space and how much self-belief that would require with no guarantee of whatever my idea of success would be if I quit my job and did this full time, you know, at any point or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just equal parts. I just laugh at the thought kind of the depth of belief that it requires to really like take yourself there, you know, and when other people don't see it and the constant self-validation. And I think I take it so much deeper too, when I think about it, where I think a lot of people who are doing creative projects or are trying something new or venturing out, your worth and your life does get tied up in that thing. You're so, or at least for me, my personality type is to put everything I have into something, especially if I'm fucking betting the house on it.
I was just talking about this the other day. Sorry, keep going.
No, it's fine. Yeah, if I'm betting the house on something, 100% of me, 120% of me will be showing up, you know?
I think it is really, really important though, not to allow your identity to be linked to your endeavors.
I do too.
So I remember I listened to a TED Talk with Elizabeth Gilbert, and she was talking about creativity, and she spoke about the word genius. Mm. And she said that back in the day, the concept of a genius was that genius was a spiritual entity outside of yourself. And sometimes you could catch genius as though it were just like inspiration that was brought to you and you could kind of harness for a moment and channel into some sort of project, whether it was writing or music or whatever. And so with that concept of genius being something that is not intrinsically linked to you, who you are, it's something that inspires you to create. Mm. And you are basically just the vessel to catch and hold and express the genius that comes to you. You are protected from any shame related to the thing that you create or any overinflated ego related to the thing that you create, because the genius isn't you. And then over time, genius, we started to relate the word genius to a quality of an individual. Mm. And she was talking about how she felt that that could be a huge part of why being a quote unquote artist can be so bad for your mental health, because we assign all of our successes and all of our quote unquote failures to our identity and to our worth. Mm-hmm. And that makes it a fucking roller coaster, because your self-love and self-worth is tied to something that you really have no control over, meaning the perception that others have of the work that you're creating.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking about that for years because I struggle with perfectionism so much. I think I've already brought that up a bunch of times in our short run of having a podcast. And don't worry, you guys, I will be bringing a lot more. But I've been thinking about that so much for years because I love to express myself in various ways. I love writing poetry. I love singing. I love anything that feels like I'm getting something that's trapped inside of me out of me. But I hate to share it because I feel like I can't handle the scrutiny of it. I'm just sensitive and terrified and historically have been a huge hater of myself in certain ways, which makes me really sad, but it's true. And so it's something I've been working on so much and not only in regards to creativity, but just in general of figuring out where do I put my self-worth and where do I find the grounded value in who I am that can't be diminished by other people's opinions, or even honestly, my opinion of myself, if I'm trying to criticize myself, you know, where do I find that stable ground to attach my identity to? And I'm still working on it. But so far, what I've come to is attaching it to doing good for the world, you know, and but even that can be really tricky because it can be hard to make boundaries around doing good for the world if you feel like you ever choose yourself over someone else or something else. That can get tricky because then it can be hard to learn how to prioritize yourself without feeling guilty about it and almost like a bad person for doing that. So maybe in love, maybe it's just in love, whether it be self-love or love for others, is what I need to be grounding my worth in.
Well, I think what I was saying earlier was that in putting 120% of myself in something, I feel like stage one is that I'm fully entrenched and it becomes my identity and I'm so, you know, like I'm so in it. But then I think that things are put into perspective as you go and you do start to understand. You stage three, stage four of that enlightenment in the process is realizing that I am my own separate entity. And this thing that I'm diving into and that I want to bring to life, whether it be safe space or a business, I'm not starting, would start,
well,
you know?
We're kind of starting something.
We are. And all of that. And you just realize that apart from whatever I deem, so Carly and I, we get to decide what is our definition of success for safe space. And we both have individual goals internally that we're using safe space to kind of achieve. And we have talked about like what our goal is and what our dream is for the platform. You know what I mean? And that's the beautiful thing is that everybody gets to decide what that threshold is for them, you know? But I think that what I'm really getting to is detaching your identity from whatever you're doing. And even if we set a goal and we don't achieve it with safe space, or we dip out early or decide that it's not for us or whatever it is, completely detaching my identity from the good, bad, or indifferent of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that I don't get dragged down with it and I remain kind of my own separate entity that's putting my energy and love into this entity, you know?
Yeah. Well, I heard Tim Ferriss say something that was really cool about success. He said that success isn't only measured in metrics, whether that be financial rewards, views, listens, followers. He said that you can also measure success by the lessons that you get from something, the relationships that you build from an experience.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Transferable skills. So if you build a skill set while trying to pursue something that you can transfer into other things, that's a success.
That's a money-making added to whatever you do next.
100%.
You just added money to your check.
Exactly. So anytime you're building your skill set, building your network, building your wealth of knowledge about life, yourself, business, creativity, collaboration, anytime you're doing all of those things, you're succeeding.
Yeah.
And I think we just spend so much time focusing on money and popularity.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Yeah.
But those two things, in my opinion, I'd like to look at them as just resources to reinvest in things that really matter.
So true. That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. Safe space gives us the ability to express all of our passions.
Yeah.
It gives us a place to express ourselves and our spirit and all of the things that we love that light us up. And in that way, it can be a tool to uplift so many of the things that we talk about in private that we feel would be really powerful as a larger conversation. And this gives us the ability to uplift those things. And those numbers-based successes ideally would only amplify those messages and those soulful endeavors that we want to really pour ourselves into.
You know who's the GOAT of this conversation and gives me so much confidence anytime I listen to him speak?
Who?
Rick Rubin.
Oh, yeah.
Rick Rubin is the fucking GOAT of this type of conversation around personal voyages and artistry and believing in yourself and making art and making, creating anything that feels aligned with you versus is for the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also he talks so much about self-belief and limiting self-belief and stuff like that. He's incredible. He's actually a music producer that's just an absolute mind guru. And I think he has a book. I think he's written multiple books, but he's on so many podcasts that I'll listen to little clips around the internet. And he has such a wealth of knowledge in this area that just every time I hear him speak, he immediately makes me want to continue, even if I'm having a moment where I'm like, oh, I'm cringing or whatever it may be, you know?
No, he comes from a place where he really champions individual expression and following where your heart kind of tells you to go.
Yeah.
He talks about art as though it were a diary entry. And he talks about it in the sense where, how are you going to judge a diary entry? You're trying to express yourself. You're trying to get everything out. You're trying to tell your truth so that you can feel unburdened.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we approached art as though it were a diary entry, we could never judge our art because it's just true. It's just our truth. It doesn't have to be everybody else's truth, but it is my truth. And how am I supposed to judge that?
Yeah.
Can't be judging my diary entries.
I think the coolest part, though, of embracing the delusion and just leaning in has been, and this is the case in life in general, is with every new life experience that we have, there's a new group of people that we can further relate to because we've been in their shoes
mm-hmm.
to a certain extent. You know what I mean? And so I look at even just my sisters and I, like all four of us. Carrie is a real estate agent. Caitlin is kind of an entrepreneur now.
Yeah.
In all regards, yeah. As of like now, it's
yeah.
The transition is happening. She has her food blog. And then Carly and I, we work regular jobs, but obviously we're doing this now too on the side for fun. And like I engaged with her food blog before and I loved everything that she was doing because I love supporting my loved ones. But now that I'm speaking into the abyss and that I'm embracing the delusion, we're just going so hard for each other mm-hmm. because we understand how it feels to be like speaking into an echoed room.
Yes.
Of, you know what I mean?
An echo chamber, yes.
And so it's, and I think that that's how the world is made a more connected, loving place. Like in very stupid, small terms is we try new things. We have as many life experiences as we can. And if we're willing and able to stay open, we connect with other people who have experienced similar things and are dealing with something similar or have done something similar. We're all just able to further connect and understand.
I feel like definitely something I'm learning is how important it is to support your people in whatever they're pursuing. It means so much.
Oh my God, it means so much.
It really keeps a person going. And yes, I'm talking about myself. Okay. But no, I'm not saying that you guys need to support us. But all I'm saying is it's making me realize it's true.
I love buying my friends stuff, you guys. And don't ask your friends for discounts and stuff. If they want to give you a discount, they can give you a discount. But like buy your friends shit full price and support them and post about their stuff. It's so fun. It makes you so happy. When I get a message about Safe Space, I immediately screenshot it and send it to Carly. I'm like, oh my God, look at what this person said. This is the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me. It feels like my birthday when I get those messages.
It's really kind.
But the only way you can get there is if you embrace the delusion.
You really do have to go hard for yourself.
Yeah, you do. Which is easier said than done sometimes, but.
Well, y'all, word to the wise, go out there and be delusional.
Okay, but like in a good way. Not
delusionally
like,
in love with yourself.
Yeah, not like in a
and
bad.
And not to the detriment of others.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be an egotistical maniac.
No.
But be your number one fan, man.
And you know what? I'm just learning that if it brings me joy and if it feels like it's building me, then it's worth every second. And if other people are relating to it or feeling it, even better, you know?
Yeah.
But tapping in with yourself and figuring out what feels good and feels right is such a critical part of it instead of having to constantly scan the room to see, is it resonating? Is it resonating? You know, just asking yourself.
That's just going to pull you away from your core and your connection to what you're doing in the first place. You got to stay connected to why you're doing what you're doing and what actually feels aligned in your body and in your spirit.
Yeah.
If you look outward too much, that disconnection, I think, is kind of inevitable.
And we never know, each one of us, when the day is going to come that our lives change forever.
No, we don't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So not to be that really cheesy person, but what if you give up today and tomorrow's the day? Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Samesies.
Okay, well, we love you guys.
Love you.
Thank you for hanging out with us.
Rocking with us.
You're the best.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.